Today's daf is daf Pei Tet in the Masechet Bava Metzia. We're in the seventh perek, HaSocheret HaPoalim. And we've been learning about the comparisons between Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho, which is about the Isser of preventing an animal from eating, and the Halachas of Kitavo B'Kerem Re'echa, or Kitavo B'Komat Re'echa, which is about a human eating. We were comparing various dinim and seeing in what way they're similar, in that both Tolosh and Mechuber apply to either, and in which way they're dissimilar, in that there's no iser, lav, of preventing a poel, which we learn out from Kinaf Shecha. So we're up to the words now on Peitet Amar Aleph, Toner Rabbanan, which is now the sixth line, almost at the end. Toner Rabbanan. The Torah describes the iser of Lotaksom specifically in terms of Disha, Lotaksom Shor B'Disho, the threshing, the Daish. Now, Daish stands for something. Ma'adayish miyuchad. Why do we use dafka threshing as an example? Because threshing is specific in that, first of all, it's a davar shegidulo karka. It's something that grows from the ground, and we have Rashi's girsav bishat gemar melacha, that what we're doing over here is gemar melacha. In other words, what he holds is that everything that is done from the time of the ketzira until the time of gemar melacha for ma'aser, which is miruach akri, is called the completion. And, of course, after that, it becomes also to a poel. Upoelo ochelbo. And the halacha is, as we saw before, that we learn out the chosem from the nechsam, the nechsam from the chosem, or we had other approaches to prove that a poel is ochelbo b'disha. Avkoshi gidulei karka poel ochelbo, yatza cholev amechavetz. Now, things that are not similar to this, such as a poel who is milking, or a poel who is now churning something into butter, or is a migabein, in which he now makes gvina by adding whatever necessary to the milk. Well, and these kind of things, even though it may well be that they are indeed gemar melacha, but they're in gidulei karka, and since they don't grow from the ground, in poel ochelbo. Says the gemara, but why do I need to learn that out of daish? Lamali. I mean, don't I know that from the psukim about poel itself? It seems rather strange, because of the hekesh of the chosem to the nechsam, to learn out the dinim that can be learned out directly when it comes to the chosem, namely the poel. Namely, ki tovo bekerem re'echa nafka. I mean, it says beferish over there, coming into the vineyard, and certainly a vineyard is davar shegidulo min hakarka. Why do I need to learn from disha? Since it says that ki tovo bekomat re'echa, and we were doresh before that comes to include l'rabot kol ba'ale koma. It doesn't mean only grain, but anything that stands. Maybe that means l'rabot nami midin lav gedulei karkan, you know. Maybe what it means is basically anything that is a unit on its own, whether it grows from the ground or not, because after all, we have two separate parashas, one of kerem, one of koma. As a matter of fact, we double koma. Kamash malan, that daish teaches us that no, indeed, koma is limited to gedulei karkan. Tanya idach, daish. Ma daish miyuchad davar shebishat gemar melacha poel ochelbo, av kosho bishat gemar melacha poel ochelbo. Now, another Tana points out something else that we learn from Disha in light of the things that we listed before bishat gemar melacha. So daish is something which is the end product. It's after we already harvested it, and it's now on its way to being a completed grain. So just like that is eaten by the poel from the hekesh of chosem to nechsam, so too koshu bishat gemar melacha, and only that's gemar melacha as a poel ochelbo, as opposed to yatsa hamenakesh peshumim vitzalim. Let's say that somebody is picking, thinning, by picking out the lesser valuable garlic or onions in a row, where he now leaves room for the more developing peyrot to grow, the vegetables to grow. So those things, that's not gemar melacha, and that's in the middle of the growing, and that is what enables it to grow. It's not similar to the ketzira. And therefore, ein poel ochel behem. Once again, asks the Gemara, but why do I need to learn that from daish? So lomali, don't I know that directly from the pasuk of the poel, where it says, ve'el kel yecha lo titein nafka. It says, don't put it into your own kelim, put it into the kelim of the baal habayit. And that was the raya, that it needs to be at least at the point of ketzira, where it's suitable to be put in the kelim of the baal habayit. Certainly, nikush is not similar to ketzira. It's a middle stage in which the things are still growing. So I think Gemara Latzricha, what we do need to learn from daish is that afa gav the kemashalif katini bebeni alime. Over here, we're talking about the type of garlic and onions that indeed will not continue to grow. It's not that we're in the middle of the growing. These things are fully matured, but they're very poor quality. They're small and shriveled. So those things, indeed, the ones at least that he's picking, he would put into the kelim of the Baal HaBayit. So I can't learn out from El Keri Lecha Lo Titein, but nonetheless it's not called the Gemar Malacha, because the main point in pulling them out is not for themselves, which they are completed, but rather to allow those things which are continuing to grow, to allow them to grow. Tani Idach. Now another Braita learns out from Daish the element that we haven't discussed yet, which is the question of Maaser, that we talked about in terms of a poem, but we never learned it out from the Daish. So we learned Ma Daish Miuchad. So just like at the time of the Disha, it's Miuchad, that it's learning Mera Malach Tola Maaser. It may be Sha'at Gemar Malacha in terms of Pu'ula. However, in terms of Maaser, until such time as you do Miruach, it's not considered to be ready to take Maaser from. So just like a Daish Po'el Ochelbo, of course, learning Mera Malach Tola Maaser Po'el Ochelbo. So to only those things which are not Chayav in Maaser yet. Yatza. Abudel Batimarim would be grow. So what they would have to do is with Timorim, with dates and with figs that were sticky, they would get stuck to one another. So they have to separate them out, and that's called a bodel. Now over there, the fruit was already ready to take off Maaser, they've just gotten stuck to each other. So Hovening Ramalach Tola Maaser, in that case, Ein Poel Ochelbo, it is not allowed to eat as a poel. It happens exactly the opposite in a braita, that actually a bodel would be allowed to eat. We're talking about over there, where is a poel allowed to eat at the time that he's being bodel? Those are tuchlani. Tuchlani are very low quality figs, which are actually, dates rather, which are actually never going to ripen on a tree. And what you do is you put them into these kinds of baskets, basket-like things that are made out of the actual lulavim of the tamar tree, and that's called a chotal. And what they do there is they sit in there and they start warming because of the gradual combustion oxidation, and they gradually become edible. And when you pull them apart while they're in the chotalot, they are certainly not yet considered to be nigmar malachtan from maaser. And there, indeed, they're gidulei karka, and no nigmar malachtan maaser. And because of that, the Braita says that a bodel b'chotalot, the poel is able to eat. But a bodel, in normal tamarim, a poel would not be allowed to eat. Tanya Idach, yet a fourth Braita teaches us that we learn from Daish as follows. Ma Daish miuchad avar shalod nigmar malachto lechala. We haven't discussed yet. The case of the Daish, obviously, is that it's not yet ready to take off challah. I mean, after all, challah is only taken off after you finish taking off the truma and the meiser, and you turn it into a dough. So that's much later. And that is only after you've actually turned it into flour and then mixed water into the flour. And at that point, it becomes a dough. It's chayav in challah. So just like there, the poel eats only before the chiv of challah, as opposed to halash, v'mekatef, ofeh. Those things, once you're doing the lisha, which is you're actually mixing the dough, or you're patting down the dough, or you're baking the dough, all those things are called nigmar malachto lechallah. And therefore, at that point, ein poel ochelbo, hes the Gemara. Where would I ever get so far? Because by the time I'm at challah, I'm way after the time that it's chayav in maaser. So, halo nigmar malachto lemaaser 6 months earlier. So anyway, the poel wasn't allowed to eat it. So what are we talking about over here? Even at the time that I'm grinding the flour, I'm not allowed to eat it. Why do you tell me at the time that I turn it into dough, I'm not allowed to eat it? That's not a problem. Lokasha, this bright is talking about a chutz la'aretz. In chutz la'aretz, there's no maaser. So therefore, the thing that you do have to worry about is challah. So if the poel is being osik, it's something where it's already chayim and challah, so you're doing the lisha, he cannot eat from it. He has the Gemara. In chutz la'aretz, there's also no challah midoraita. So then challah nami leka. I mean, you're not really helping yourself out over here. Maybe midrabanan, or certainly can't use that for learn from the pasuk. Elololam ba'aretz. Indeed, says the Gemara, we are talking about in Eretz Yisrael. The lokash, it's not a problem from the other Braita that talks about the maser, because we're talking about over here, this Braita is talking about b'sheva shekipshu u'b'sheva shelchilku. We're talking about the first entry into Eretz Yisrael, in which there were 14 years we're over there, until the kibush of Eretz Yisrael and the nachal of Eretz Yisrael, splitting it between the shvatim, the omamar, we know that those 7 years and 7 years, sheva shekipshu v'sheva shelchilku, even though we were chayav in challah, we were not chayav in Maaser, and that's because of the difference in the way that the Torah phrases, in a beautifully, beautifully delicate way, when it comes to Challah, it does not say Ki Tavo. It says Bevoachem, which means you're in the process of coming. Every other Chiyav of the Dinim of grain, it says Ki Tavo, remarkable, which teaches us that the Chiyav of Challah was instant, whereas the others are only when you've already entered and settled into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, comes along a bright at the say, and it forces you to think. It's brilliant. Forces you to think. What? How could it be that a poet can't eat from challah? Obviously, can't eat from. It was before. It was already after Maaser. Ah, must be. We're talking about the period in which indeed there was no Maaser, and there was a chiyev of challah. But wait a minute, says the Gemara. This whole discussion doesn't make sense. Is it the chiyev of Maaser that is the issue, or is it the stage that would be Mechayev of Maaser? I mean, you seem to be confusing the fact that the Poel can't eat it from the actual Chiyev of Maaser, as if to say, well, of course, once it's Chayev of Maaser, the Poel can't eat. It has nothing to do with once it's Chayev of Maaser. It has to do with what kind of work you're doing. So none of this helps, because it's irrelevant whether it was an actual Chiyev, Chutzlar, it's Eretz Yisrael during the 14 years. But the bottom line is, you've already reached the stage at which, at a time, where, and place, where there is a Chiyev of Challah, at that point, the Poel wouldn't eat. So what's the nafkamina if there's a Chiyev of Challah l'maaser or not? Because, says the Gemara, midi maaser itself is kagarim, it's the Gemara malachar kagarim. And therefore, we're back to where we started from. Why would we ever need a brayta to learn that from Daesh, that when you're baking bread, you don't have a right to eat it? If you don't even have a right to eat it from the time you're grinding the flour, Ella, you're right, says the Gemara, forget it. This is a mistake. Omer vina kroch hutni. What you have to do is you put these two braytot, and you make them into one brayta. They're not two different dinim. One that makes it dependent in Maaser, and one that makes it dependent in Challah, and therefore you have what appears to be a contradiction. Rather, the thing to do is to recognize that we're talking about the same Braita, and to say as follows, Ma Daesh Miuchat, Davar Shalodin Ramalachto Maaser L'Challah, which is Bitvua, and a Paul eats it, so too, Afkor Shalom L'Migmar Milachto, for whatever it is. In that sense, if it's peyrot and so on, obviously that you can't have a chiyev of challah. So therefore, we say lemaaser, there the poel can eat it. And if it's lechallah, in other words, something that is shayech, one of the chamisha minei dagan, so there the poel is indeed okay. Turns out, therefore, that we have indeed a very important difference lahalacha between the tvua and between the perot. And it's perot because they have a chiyev of maaser. So the moment it's nigmar malachta maaser, they indeed no longer are eaten by the poel, whether there's a chiyev of maaser or not. But where you have something which is chayim echallah, so then that would mean a poel would be allowed to eat even subsequent to meruach. And indeed, there's two completely different things. Had we only had the bright that said maaser, we would have thought, as we did until now, that everything is dependent on Nigmar Malachta Lamaser, and that's why we were assuming all along that Miruach HaKri was sufficient to prevent the Poel from eating. Now we know that Miruach alone wouldn't be sufficient, because when it comes to Tvua, the Poel eats until it's actually time for mixing the flour and the water, and only at that point does he stop eating. Continues the Gemara Iboilo. Poel, Mahu Shiehav Hev, Bo'ur V'Ochal. Would he be allowed to take what it is that he's picked, and put it into, let's say, a popper, and eat it at that point. So that there you end up with something greater than when you put in. In other words, we know that anavim, for instance, mihavik anavim v'davar acher, remember that we learned before, that you cannot sweeten, for instance, the anavim. You cannot put in something that makes it easier to eat. You only eat it in its natural state, and as much as you would want to eat it in that natural state. But you certainly can't do something with it that would increase your consumption. Would you be allowed to pop the grain, let's say? So then, or is that considered to be, look, you didn't add anything, it's the same thing, it's just a different processing, or not? I mean, everybody knows once it's popped, you can't stop eating. So do we say it's anavim v'davar acher, which is asur, olo? Or since you didn't add anything, it's still considered to be the raw product. Tashma, Rishai ba'ala bayit lashkot po'alim yayin, kidei shelo yochlu anavim harbe. And Rishaim po'alim, letabil pitam betzir, kidei sheyochlu anavim harbe. Look, they can both do their best to minimize the other person's rights. So the ba'ala bayit can make sure that they drink a lot of wine so they don't feel like eating. They don't feel like eating the grapes while they're working on it. On the other hand, the balabayat can bring the poalim can bring a lot of herring juice, you know, and dip it in so that they they really would enjoy eating a lot of anavim. It's not eating it together with anything else, so it's not anavim vidavar acher. So that means that there is no problem in increasing the desirability for consumption. That's not our issue. The problem is only to actually add other things. And if that's the case, then indeed it should be all right. Says the Gemara, it's not the same. Because the popping is not the same as the person having a different appetite, you see. Luxury gavra. You want to change the person so that the person is now capable of eating more. He'll eat more anavim because he likes to eat anavim since he's now thirsty from his herring sauce. That, of course, isn't osir, because you're not changing anything in the food. So over there, lo kami boilan, we never would have questioned whether you have a right to increase consumption by making yourself thirsty and therefore desiring more grapes for the juice. That's not an issue. But ki kami boilan luxury pira, we're talking about where you're changing the nature of what you're eating. That's the question. This is irrelevant to that question. My. Says the Gemara, let's see if we can bring a raya from the following. Toshma. The Braita says, po'alim ochlim anavim b'roshei umuniyot shelahem. So what the po'alim can do is not eat those anavim until they get to the anavim that are all the way at the edge of the vineyard, which are the best anavim, since that's the place where they're exposed the most to the sun, and they get the best nourishment, so they're much sweeter. And even though by not eating until then they're going to eat a lot more of those, it's fine. But now here's the crucial piece. Ubelvat shelo yahavavu bu'ur. However, you cannot make them tastier by putting them into a roaster. And that would be, now that was your question, was it not? So you see that it's usher. Says the Gemara, no, you don't see that it's usher, because hatam mishum bitul melacha. We're not talking about the same thing at all. There we're talking about being mehavehev. Now, while you're working, it's not because of anavim v'davar acher. It's because of the fact that you're being hired at this time to do work. We're interested in knowing. You have somebody else who's doing the work for you. Your kids are there. So they want to make it tastier for you by being mehavehev. There we're asking, what's the din in terms of anavim v'davar acher, not what's the din in terms of some other issue? Tashma, let's see if we can bring a braita from the following. Lo yahavehev b'ur v'yochal. The worker is not allowed to pop the grain or to put the fruits into a roaster. Lo yichumor b'adama. You're not allowed even to warm them, to put them underneath hot coals or ground that had been warmed by coals or sun that had warmed the ground. V'yochal. V'lo yafrich agabei sela v'yochal. You can't rub them against a stone to make them easier to eat. Avo mafricha yada yad. You can rub them between your fingers to get rid of anything tough that's on them and eat. The ochel, that lo yavhev, which is exactly the question that you're asking. Says the Gemara, no, there too. How do you know that's the issue? Atamishum bitul melacha. By the way, I mean, it's clear for the whole context that it's not talking about the iser per se of the eating more fruit. Well, you know, I mean, it's got to be talking about the problem of wasting your time. Because the isak adayim shumatuke pira. If you think the problem is because of anavim v'davar acher, in other words, you're making it sweeter and easier to eat. I mean, what are you going to say? That on a sela, if you're going to use the sela as opposed to your hands, what are you going to do? You're going to be making it tastier? You're not making anything tastier over there. Maimetuke pira ika. Clearly, the only isra over there is because you're wasting your time. Have you had somebody else there with a nutcracker or something? That's fine, as long as it's not on his time. And therefore, the question over here has nothing to do with metuke pera, which is anovim v'dover acher, says the Gemara, well, no, not necessarily. It may well be that it is because of metuke pera. So you're saying, I mean, what's the advantage of rubbing something agabi sela? It is advantageous. It's nevshar de lo mamtik purta. I mean, when you rub something between your hands, it doesn't really give it that same, doesn't release the juices of whatever it is you're rubbing the way a sela does. So we still don't know what the din would be about hivhuv where it's not on the other guy's time. Let's see if we can bring a raya from the following. Tashma. Poralim. Shayu odrim batayinim. Vigodrim batmarim. Vubotrim ba'anavim. Umuskim bezeitim. So the poralim who were now busy doing the harvest. Now, the harvest in Lashon HaKodesh has a different word for each type of product. So for Te'ena, it's called Adira. For Tmarim, it's called Gedira. For Anovim, it's called Betzira. For Zeitim, it's called the Mesika. But it means that they're doing basically the harvesting. Harelu ochlin, they're allowed to eat, and they're also pturim. The reason that they're barred from taking maaser is because, after all, HaTorah zichtalahem. As we saw before, they don't have a din of a lokeach, and therefore they don't have to worry about taking maaser. They have the same din as kinafshecha, as we learned from the pasuk. However, bepitam lo yochlu, they can't eat it together with their pita and put these things in it, because then they're going to end up eating more. Elim ken at lurish would be balabayit. If they get permission from the balabayit, they can. The lo yisfot, however, the worker cannot either take the perot and put them into melach, the yochal, so he can't dip it into salt, which, I mean, I assume means that even though obviously the melach is not all that important, it's not eating anavim v'davar acher, I don't even see it. Nonetheless, it's because it makes it more edible. So from there you see that means that melach itself is the same thing as the hivu of ba'or, right? And if that's the case, so too would be hivu of ba'or asur, because it's, even though I don't see it, but it's making it tastier. Says the Gemara, no, certainly not. The fact that the melach is invisible isn't the point. It is a separate substance, and therefore melach is vadaika anavim v'davar acher dami. That is definitely considered to be the equivalent of eating it together with something else, and that we said was asur mashen kein hivuv, where nothing at all is added, and it's entirely just what it was, except that it's made tastier. There, it's not a problem. Now, we did mention before, v'lo yispot b'melach v'yochal. It says you cannot dip in salt and then go ahead and eat it. The problem is that there's another brayta that says as follows, v'raminu. Someone who hires now a workman who is supposed to be digging or supposed to be picking up loose earth and covering over the roots that have become uncovered underneath of olive trees. Since such a person is involved in that which is not gemar malacha, it's still in the growing stage, he does not have a right to eat. And this was something that we had learned out before. But if, however, he was hired to harvest the grapes, or secharo limsok, or to harvest the olives, or secharo lalakeit, or to pick up peirot from other trees, hareze ochel, he's allowed to eat, and he would be potter from maaser, because, after all, we learned before kenafshecha, and that means that a Torah zichta lahem, and it's not considered to be like elokeach. Elokeach would be chayav in maaser for doing the same thing that the poel is. And this was something that we discussed earlier. Katsatz, now suppose he made a deal with the balabayit that at the time that he is doing this work, he has a right to take from his perot, then it has a din of elokeach. He's simply buying the perot for his work. And elokeach, as we said earlier, is chayav in maaser. So then already it would depend. If he's eating it achad v'achad, he's eating them one by one, so then in fact he can eat without maaser. Because the only time that you're chayav in maaser is when it's gornecha. There needs to be a goren. And a goren, as we'll see later, we have a raya from a pasuk, that a goren is only where you have at least two things that were put together. And therefore, shtayim, if there's two, if you cannot eat them by two, because at that point, since he's a buyer, and there's also a goren on it, so then that means it's now kavua through the mekach for maaser. So shtayim, lo yochal, and sofet b'melach v'yochal. He can dip in salt and eat it. And apparently the balabayit cannot prevent him from doing that. It's not considered to be eating with anavim v'davar acher, which is an exact contradiction to what we said earlier. And it's very clear what it's referring to now, because, think for a moment, which part of the braita was it going on when it said sofet b'melach v'yochal? I mean, even in b'seifa, if it's going on this last piece, so then there's no possible meaning to those words, sofet b'melach v'yochal, because the last case was that he made a deal with the owner. Obviously, if he made a deal with the owner, he can do whatever the heck he wants. It's his peirot. He bought them. So then, kivan de katsatz kolech de boylecha. What's the difference how he wants to eat it? That's not our business. Therefore, it's got to be going back el alav areisha, in the case where he did not make a deal with the balabayit, and he's eating it because of Torah zichtalo, and nonetheless, he is allowed to be sofet b'melach and eat. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what the Braita said before, which is that he's not allowed, in a case where he's stopped working for somebody, to be sofet v'ochel. Before we get on to the solution, or the possible solutions that are going to be offered, I just want to mention that there are some other pirushim over here. And Rabbi Chanano learns, not like Rashi, that kotzitz means he makes a deal to eat from the balabayit. And the truth is, it doesn't really make sense. Why would he need to make a deal if we're talking about katsira? I mean, if that's the case, then he would be eating anyway. So Rabbi Chanano says that it's talking about he was katsatz, meaning that he agreed to a maximum number of perot that he's going to eat, in which case, what's the difference? How tasty you make it? He's already guaranteed that he's not eating more than that. And another issue that is worthwhile mentioning is that according to Rashi, it's mashma that the katsitsa turns him into a lokeach, even in a place where he would have had the right to eat. Midiraita, such as Bitsira, which is strange, because, I mean, why would he now become more of a lokeach since he had those rights without doing any lekicha? It's a little bit. In any event, continues the Gemara. Omar Abaye, when we're talking about over here, dipping in melach, which you assumed has something to do with the rights of a poel to eat, that assumption was wrong. It was not talking about that issue at all. It was talking about svita b'melach as that which might know, which might make you chayev in maaser. Not because you don't have rights to eat it that way. V'lo kashe kan ba'aretz, where the Braita said that you must not dip it into melach and eat, it's talking about because then you'd be chayev in maaser. That's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the other Braita that says there's no problem to be sofet b'melach is talking about b'chutzula aretz. And therefore, we're not dealing with the rights of a poel. We're dealing with dinin of maaser. So when it says lo yispot, that's referring to the idea of lo yispot because of the chiyuv. Okay, so if that's the case, it has absolutely no bearing on our question. So what's the difference? Explains it by the difference is bi'aretz, where there is a chiyuv, a meiser, and you're right over there, kav asvita. Dipping into salt is considered to be a kviyut, and you're now really eating this the way you would eat something that has completely fulfilled now all of its work. But b'chutz la'aretz, where it's only a chiyuv, the rabbanon were not kaveya a chiyuv maaser just from svita b'melach, and therefore it would be pater. Omar Rava, that is a very weird explanation. Because mi'ika midi b'aretz kava svita midiraita, b'chutz la'aretz lo kava svita at all? Umutu l'chatchila, I mean, the rule is that when the rabbanon make a takana, they pattern that takana on whatever the normal din is. If in Eretz Yisrael the normal din is that midiraita something becomes kavuah maaser b'svita b'melach, so then when something is chayav maaser min rabbanon, so it becomes kavuah maaser min rabbanon b'svita b'melach. Why would we arbitrarily just decide this one thing is not going to be chayav b'svita b'melach? Where would you get such a thing from? Elo amar Rava, clearly there would be no nafkamina between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. Bein b'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. First of all, let's talk about the number that you're eating. So if you're going to be eating chada, you're only eating one grape, which is what we were talking about before, without a goren. So then it won't help to do svita, won't be machayev. You lo kova svita. Tarte, but if you do have a shame goren on it, so then kova svita. The dipping in salt now is considered to be the completion of the goren, and you're now chayev maaser. In the case where you were kotzeitz, so the poel makes up with the balabayit what it is that he's going to be eating, whether he's sofet or not, ben safat, ben lo safat, he's allowed to eat, achat achat, he can eat without taking off maaser. But shtayim shtayim, lo yochal. If he's got two, then he cannot eat it. So where the braita, the last braita said, v'sofet b'melach, v'yochal, that's referring to the last piece where the poel had been kotzitz with the balabayit. It has nothing to do with the question we asked before, as well, obviously, he can eat however he wants. The issue isn't whether he can eat, the issue is whether he's chayav maaser. That's all that we're talking about. So what we said over there is that if he's kotzeitz, he can't eat shtayim shtayim, because at that point, it's considered to be kavua lemaaser. But if he eats achat achat, then he would be allowed to dip into melach. Okay? That's all that it was referring to. So shtayim shtayim lo yochal. Lo katzatz v'lo safat. If there was no katzitz and he was only eating what the Torah gave him right to eat, and there was no dipping, so then if he eats shtayim shtayim, he's also allowed to eat without maaser. Because at this point, and that's what it's talking about in the first braita, where it says lo yispot b'melach v'yochal, That's talking about where you didn't make up anything, and therefore you are allowed to eat two, even though two are a goren, because it doesn't matter. A goren without some type of completion is not mechayev you. But once it is that you would, if you're eating two by two, and once you dip them into salt, indeed you would be chayev. That's why it says over there, lo yispot, because at that point you would be chayev. So safat, achat v'chat ocher, shtayim shtayim lo yochal. Af agav v'natal, reshut bi ba'al habayit, and that even if he gave him the rights in terms of being meichel him, in that case, it wouldn't help. We're not talking about his rights to eat. But since over there was itvelu l'maaser, he now has a tevel, and the svita was koveyet for the chiyev of taking off the maaser. Vitarte, to kova svita minola. And where do we get this idea? That when you have a goren, so then if you dip it, the dipping it is mechayev. How do we know that? Omer matna, the omer kro. I'll show you. The Torah uses the word of gathering together. It says, he kiptsan, he gathered them together, ke'amir gorna, like you would into the goren. So you see that kibbutz, meaning having more than one, is the equivalent of a kibbutz, of a goren. So a kibbutz of two makes goren. Less than that, not. And so Mamela, at that point, you can begin discussing whether, because you're not a lokeach, whether svita would be awesome.